A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." So today is Confirmation Sunday. If you want to be out of here before 4 o'clock this afternoon, you picked the right service to be at. It's going to be a long one. We've got 22 of our young people who are going to become official members of the church at the 11 o'clock service. Really an incredible, incredible thing for us to be able to celebrate. And if any of you ever have doubts about the future of our world, I challenge you to just spend 5 minutes with one of them, and I promise you, you will be given a vision of a bright and shining future for our world. And when we come to a day like this, when we're celebrating our young people and celebrating their faith, it's our hope and our prayer that through this worship service, we all get to take this chance to remember the call that's placed on our lives, the promises that were made over us in our own baptisms, whether that was a few weeks ago or a few decades ago, that those promises continue to be true. Now, if you didn't grow up in a Lutheran church, or frankly, even if you did, you might be asking yourself, what is this confirmation thing really all about, right? Why are we bothering with this? Why are we having this four-hour-long service? What is this all about? Well, so most of us, many of us even in the Lutheran tradition, are baptized as infants, right? We're brought to the water by people who love us, and without our choosing, without our deserving, God's grace is lavished upon us. And we're claimed as a child of God. And so we fast forward a couple years, and we get to this point where we want our young people to have a chance to ask questions of faith, to challenge the teachings that we have, to wrestle with the scriptures that are before them, to explore what it means for them to be people of God, to take ownership of the promises that were made on their behalf in their baptisms. And so we come today to affirm our faith. So they become officially adults in the eyes of this congregation, but they also are reminded that the promises made over them in their baptisms will remain true throughout their lives. It's a really beautiful and powerful opportunity for us to celebrate that as an entire congregation. Now, really quick, we're going to do a little poll here. This will be unscientific, but you know, if you just raise your hands, how many of us had some sort of confirmation experience growing up in this congregation or anywhere? All right, pretty much all of us. So we're familiar, right? We've been there. Now, how many of us in that confirmation experience had to memorize some sort of material? Maybe the creeds or, yeah, all right. Most of us have been there too. How many of us had to take a test or write an essay of some sort? Yeah? Few fewer hands, okay. Now how many of us, this is what my mom always likes to remind me of because this was her experience, how many of you had to stand in front of a congregation and publicly answer questions that they got to determine if you got right or wrong? Yeah, couple, yeah. So please take a moment, find our confirmants and assure them that coming on Wednesday nights is really not that bad, okay? So for me, I will be the first to admit that it was not that long ago that I was in eighth grade that I was getting confirmed, but even back then, we did a whole lot more of this kind of memorization stuff, right? And we had to prove that we'd actually memorized what was going on. And so we'd stand before the pastor and a couple other leaders, and we'd have to recite the creed, and we'd have to recite the, you know, third article in Luther's explanation of the fifth commandment, and this, that. You know, this is what we had to do. And it occurred to me then, just as it continues to occur to me now, that while memorizing these beautiful writings, can be a meaningful and powerful experience for us, and they can provide comfort for us in times of sorrow and in the moment of hopelessness or despair. They can be a guiding light for us. There's beauty and reason to memorizing these passages. As an eighth grader trying to understand what was happening, it felt like I was just being given a checklist. It said, here's what you have to check off in order to achieve faith, right? And so while in one hand I was learning about grace and being told that there's nothing I do to deserve God's grace, that it's given to me freely and abundantly, it's poured out upon me, right? Over here I'm being told, but you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and this is how you really become a part of the community. Do you hear the disconnect here? You see how somehow these two things just don't seem to match up. And honestly, when we look at our gospel reading today, it can feel like Jesus is just adding to the checklist, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right. Let's get out the list, right? Let's see what we've got here. All right. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, we can probably start with the Ten Commandments. That seems like a reasonable place to start. So let's see. Keep the Sabbath. Yeah, you're all here. Okay, check. Let's see. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. It's pretty early in the morning. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that one, all right? Check. Do not steal. Check. Do not murder. Check. Honor thy father and mother. Remind me later. Done. Right? We get this sense that it's just this list where we just have to cross things off as if that's how we achieve the love of God. The problem is that it's our own best human intentions that put forward this idea of, hey, take this stuff seriously, right? And it turns into this, well, you have to do it this way in order to have faith. And that's simply not the message that we hear from Jesus. It's not the message that's passed to us in Scripture or in the traditions of the church. Because Jesus is not calling us into a relationship with a checklist. Jesus is calling us into a relationship with God. The God of the universe, who created the earth and gave it its light, who placed the stars in the sky, the God who created you and formed you and numbered the hairs on your head, a few more hairs for some of us than others. That's the God that we are called into relationship with. God who reached down through the heavens and the waters of our baptism and claimed us as children of God. We're called into a relationship. And so when we hear the reading today, when we hear Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus isn't adding to a to-do list because God has already done everything. Instead, we hear this passage and we're reminded that last week Jesus was giving this teaching to his disciples, and Pastor Gary taught us, you know, that we know the way to the Father. We know the way, and it's the path of love. And this week Jesus keeps up with this same conversation. It's one long conversation. We just happen to have 7 days between hearing it, right? It's one conversation that's continuing. Jesus goes on, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We know the way to the Father. When we love Jesus, we love one another. And when we love, we are keeping the commandments, because the commandments are rooted in love. And so for us to have this opportunity to stand with one another, to be reminded of the call that Jesus has placed on our life, is an opportunity for us to say yes to the path of love. See, confirmation, what the kids are going to do later today, is not about standing up and checking something off a to-do list. Confirmation is about claiming our place as a child of God and taking another step on this path. Just another step of many. And if we're honest with one another, which I hope that we can be, right? If we're honest with one another, we know that this path is not always an easy one. The path of love is not always sunshine and rainbows. In fact, it probably rarely is sunshine and rainbows. Because we're going to put our love out there and someone's going to throw our love right back in our face. We're going to be hated by someone just for the simple fact that we even try to love them. Someone else is going to do everything they can to make us feel weak and powerless because we're so silly as to try to love one another. And even if none of that happens, we can become overwhelmed by the sheer enormity of trying to love those whom Jesus loved. It can seem like an insurmountable task, right? Think about all the people in this world who need the love of God, and it's our job to do that. But there's grace in this message from Jesus, because we don't walk this path alone. Jesus reminds us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will send you another advocate, another helper, what we call the Holy Spirit, right? That we will never walk this path alone, but the Holy Spirit will walk alongside of us. So that when the road is dark, when the mountain is high, when we have love thrown back in our face, when we're overwhelmed by the enormity of it all, the Holy Spirit can strengthen us, can comfort us, can embolden us in our faith. So that as we go out knowing not that we're sent alone, but that we're sent as a people united in this Spirit, strengthened so that there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. We go out freed to know that we can tear down any border, break down any wall, climb any fence, just to love those whom Jesus has called us to love. Those in the margins, those who have been kicked out of the community, to love the women at the well, to love the lepers at the city gate, to love the men who cannot walk, to love the single parents, to love the homeless veterans, to love the troubled children, to love all those whom the world says you cannot possibly reach them, you can never touch them, to love all those the world tells us they don't deserve your time, they're not worthy of another chance, to love all those that we call our neighbors and all those that we call our enemies. This is the path of love. And those are the people on our path. So in about an hour or so, when these young people come forward, we're going to lay hands on them. Their small groups are going to gather around them. Their families are going to gather around them. Patrick and Pastor Gary and I are going to gather around them. We're going to place our hands on their head and pray for them as a sign for them, but also for all of us, that there is nowhere that we go where this Holy Spirit does not accompany us. There is no task that's put before us where we are not stronger with the Holy Spirit. There is no darkness that we walk into that is not brighter because of the Holy Spirit. There is no sadness that is not more joyful because of the Holy Spirit. There is nowhere that we go where this advocate does not follow us. So this opportunity today, this thing we call confirmation, it's not about checking a box. I promise you it's not. It's an opportunity for our young people, for each of us, to claim our place as a child of God and to take another step on the path of love. To hear again the promise of Jesus, I will not leave you orphaned. The world will not see me, but you will see me because I am in you. In this gathered body, in the waters of our baptism, the bread and the wine, any time that we gather, Jesus is in us. And we walk this path of love together. God loves each of you, and I do too.